Good evening and welcome. This is the January 13, 2014 Board of Education regular meeting. The meeting will now come to order. Mr. Kenwood, would you please lead us in the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance?
Please rise. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Stecker, roll call, please.
Mr. Escalante.
Here.
Mr. Kenwood.
Here.
Mr. Aldridge.
Here.
Mr. Wyszynski.
Here.
Mrs. Nelson.
Here.
Mr. Ellis.
Here.
Mr. Black.
Here. Public participation. Is there anyone present who would like to address the board at this time? Okay. Let me get through my little speech. I'd like to remind members of the audience that speakers should identify themselves, complete a public participation form, and limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. Personal complaints or criticism about staff members, students, or other members of the District 41 community should be initiated privately with the appropriate district representative. Also, profanity, interruption, and other interference with the orderly conduct of the meeting are not permitted. All questions raised will be forwarded to the appropriate D41 staff representative for a response if a response is warranted. Mr. Cooper, are you ready?
I'm all set.
You may begin.
Jeff Cooper, Glen Ellen. I realize it's a new year. I'd like to finish up a couple of one thing anyways from we were having a talk about Veterans Day. And I missed last month, but since I was here last, I had brought up to me things that the district has done, assemblies and so on, and bringing some people in from the area that were involved in past wars and so on. And I feel that's very important. It doesn't address, it doesn't change what my thought process was in the first place. And at the last meeting where I wasn't here, it was brought up by the superintendent that if kids are off on Veterans Day, they'll probably just watch TV. Unlike the day before Thanksgiving when they would watch TV. So I wonder if there's any studies that you would, versing that comment down. Otherwise, I still feel strongly about what I said. Lincoln's birthday is Lincoln's birthday. If we don't celebrate on Lincoln's birthday, it's a sign of disrespect. I grew up being celebrated on the day that meant something. Point made. Mr. Ellis brought up at the November 11th Finance Committee meeting about reviewing business travel expenses. And I haven't seen any policy committee meeting existed since that point. Have there been? And if there have been, what was, I'd like to know what the outcome was. And if it hasn't, when will the next policy committee meeting be? So I can follow up on that. I'd like to know that tonight. My suggestion as a stakeholder burdened with high taxes is that hotel accommodations by staff, used by staff, administration, or board should not be approved in a 30-mile radius from District 41. It doesn't cause anyone a hardship. They have to actually come back from 30 miles away. I used to commute up to Rodney Park every day, 6 days a week, 12 hours a day.
45 seconds.
Regarding the administration contracts, it is only January, but they are going to be coming up in the spring, from what I've been told. And I'd like to make sure that we don't forget about the request I made previously to cut back on unnecessary benefits such as health club memberships. So I'd like to know when that will be reviewed. And the transparency and MasterCard bills, I called the superintendent several weeks ago, because we're so far behind that transparency is really not there. Right now, the last bill we have is from September 20th. We definitely can get one if not two more bills should be on there. Because we need to find out about the charges that took place in September when it's March. They're barely relevant anymore. They're really not great conversations to be had.
That's time. Could you sum up, please?
Just one last point. I heard on some of the audios about the word referendum being used going forward. And I would like to just say, before we get anywhere near that word, there's two words, the green line. Those words are going to sit out there like a cloud if we have a referendum come up. so we could. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. The policy committee meetings are posted on the website, so be looking for those. The other questions you have could most likely be answered in the near future. Mrs. Stecker, anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. Presentations, reports, initiatives. There are no presentations scheduled for this evening, so moving on to the action items. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Okay, hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes the Human Resources Personnel Report, including employment recommendations, resignation, and retirement, finance facilities and operations, treasurer's report, investment schedule, monthly revenue expenditure summary report, summary bills and payroll, school district payment order, vandalism damage report, disposal of surplus property report, 2013-2014 FOIA report, and other matters, including approval of the board meeting minutes, December 9, 2013 Board of Education public hearing and regular meeting, and the December 9, 2013 Board of Education regular meeting closed session minutes. May I have a motion?
Motion. Second.
Motion by Mr. Ellis, second by Mr. Pachinski. Roll call, please.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Pachinski?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes. Superintendent's report.
So I have two pieces. The enrollment continues to be holding steady. Nothing other than that.
Can I ask a question? Just when I review the report, and I'm sorry I review this report more than maybe most, but if we could add a column in the future that shows me like the year end last year, and the district totals last. It's a nice summary. We've added a lot to this report. But it says current, and then it shows the last report. It'd be nice to see, as a baseline for me, the report from last year, the last month,
yep.
June, whatever.
So matching the two together.
Yeah, this way I can see where it went overall.
So month to month, and then year to year kind of deal?
Yeah, to end the last year.
Yeah.
Just gives me a reference. You know, did we have 3,600 students last year?
So you know what I'm saying. It is steady.
It is steady.
Instead of being able just to run it by you.
And I promise to stay out only 1 year. I don't need to. Next time, I'm not
coming back. Okay. But yeah, that
you
is something we can add.
Minutes, right? I know. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good.
Didn't Karen give this? Karen, did you give that to us? Like in June, there was a bubble graph and all that? Or a graph? Was it Karen or somebody?
Doubt Karen would be doing the attendance piece. We ever do a lot of things.
We asked for that, right? And you kind of showed us a graph. And
you may have just received it specifically asked for it. I'm not sure. You know what it was, Catherine? I mean, it was the timeline that showed milestone dates and then the attendance, the enrollment numbers were part of that. Yeah. I have that as part of my facility stuff. Yeah, it was on there.
We did see it.
Yeah, okay.
Just on the monthly report, like 5 monthly report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll take a crack at making it a few adjustments. Bring it to absolutely. I do not mind at all. I've got on my little sticky note here to remind me. The second thing under the superintendent's report is just a brief update on. I was able to bring a few members out to Colorado. One of the pieces, I think. During the interview process for the superintendency that I brought to the table that maybe others did not was my background in STEM education, the work in it, the working that we did in Adams 12, which, you know, I believe is some of the best work around the country, and it's been recognized by a number of individuals throughout the country for what it's done in STEM education. Made a decision to bring myself, Karen, Linda, Scott, and Steve from Hadley out to Colorado to see STEM, because as I talk about it, you know, I talk a lot about it, I felt it was really important for them to see it in action and to see STEM from a different perspective. Again, I talked a lot about it, gave a lot of examples, but I really felt like it was important for them to be in the three schools, three very different schools that Adams 12 has, to see students, to see teachers, and to see just the overall interaction and how it works. It was, to me, very successful because I was able to sit back and allow Karen and the principals to ask questions and to see what was occurring and the engagement by students and how students were owning their learning through problem-based learning, through workshop structures, through panel discussions that are, I think, very unique and have allowed kids to stand and deliver the knowledge they have, and at times stand and fail when they do struggle with their work. Well, experts, panels, yeah, panel members who are experts in the field, who are connected directly with whatever that area of expertise that the students are studying. For instance, we happened to be in with a group of students who were studying the impacts of floods and fire burns in Colorado, which unfortunately happen every summer, where Colorado has major fire burns, and then, like it does happen, major floods. So they bring the students to it. They don't call these field trips. They're not going on field trips. It's about field experiences. It's important for kids to be immersed into the work itself as experts in the field. They hear from the experts, and then those experts come back to the panel to sit with them as the students try to go through and describe how they're solving this problem. Again, we saw students who performed at some of the highest levels that I've seen, to kids who really struggled, but both were learning an immense amount. Teachers were learning an immense amount, and actually, when kids were struggling, the teachers were learning probably a little bit more than anyone else. There was a lot on them to say, "Wow, what happened here? Why didn't my kids get this piece?" And it's key because it wasn't about just imparting knowledge on them. It's about how kids think, how kids able to gather the necessary information and apply it in very unique situations. Teachers as true facilitators. And this was for all kids. And that was probably the piece I wanted to show more than anything else. These are classrooms with the full spectrum of learners within them. From gifted and talented students to the kids, kind of the regular kids in the middle, to ELL students, and students receiving specialized instruction, kids who are on IEPs, all within one classroom, receiving very differentiated instruction. Kids who are so engaged that you wouldn't know whatever label we put on, as adults, we put on the kids. They were engaged. Wandered over to two students who were near the whiteboard, and they were talking, and all of a sudden they get up on the whiteboard and they're putting up their answers, and they're just talking away. They're having this incredible conversation. Sit down with the teacher and she said, "You know, those two have an IEP and they struggled prior to coming here. They really struggled prior to coming here, but now they're one of our most engaged students." And to see how the teachers were interacting with the students is really a piece that I wanted to share with our team. Again, you can hear me talk about it, but to see it, I felt it was that important to go out there, to be able to experience the learning, to see the business engagement, because that's another unique piece of what Adams 12 STEM education does, is connecting to the business community. And when they partner, it's a different type of partnership. Oftentimes in education, when we talk about partnership, we put our hand out like this and expect for cash to come in. Their partnership is a true, it's hands out. But this is what we need from you. And what they're saying to us is, this is what we need from you, education. You need these kids to help us solve these types of problems. And they are. We were at North Glen High School, which is in year one. Each of our schools, two of the three schools we visited, highly, highly impacted with socioeconomics, highly impacted ELL populations. We went to North Glen High School in this again, it's a 1960s building, but they were able to put on a STEM wing aspect to it. You know, it's a million-dollar facility, gorgeous facility. I mean, it was just so, it's just a great facility. But as we're walking through, in there are these three students, all by themselves, millions of dollars, literally millions of dollars of equipment sitting in there. But the teachers were all hands-off, and these kids were working. There was a wind turbine right next to them. But these three were so engaged in their learning. This was not a class period. It was Friday afternoon. It was our last visit of the day. It had to be around 2:30, and these three were just going to town. I mean, this is exactly what you would want every high school student to be doing. These kids talked to us about how STEM has changed their life. Two out of the three, because of this STEM education, they've changed their major in college. That's how impactful it was. I was like, you know, I wanted to be the civil engineer. After doing this and after working with experts in the field, you know, that's not exactly what I want to do. This is that piece that I want to focus in on. Still in engineering, but with a slightly different twist. From English language learners who came out in the hallways and talked to us directly and talking about why they're so engaged in school, why it makes such a difference for them, why PBLs make such a difference for them. And for them to be able to verbalize it, we had one of the middle school students talking to us about a project that they're working on around issues with immigration and how it's impacted him and his family, and how he was talking about how the Mexican government has so much that they've got to take care of because they're hurting their people. So they're almost forcing individuals to cross the border because their government's not taking care of them. Again, I'm not even doing it justice, but I felt it was that important to bring teams out to see what we can become. And I really believe we're on the right path. But it's important to, at times, to hear the vision, but I think at times it's even more important to see the vision, to be able to touch the vision, talk to the principals, and see the impact that principals make in their schools and how important it is for them to own this work. We saw that as well.
What did Steve say as principal at Hanley? Because this is his first year.
Yeah.
And, you know, coming from his other district, what was his take on it?
Well, I'll tell you.
From a family perspective.
And Karen, I want you to jump in here as well. That first afternoon, you know, we walk out to the car. All three of them are like, hey, can we join? This is what we want for our kids. This is it. This is the STEM that I see for our district. We can make this even better because we're all committed. And that's not what I was looking to do. It was not to go out there and make them drink Kool-Aid and drink the Paul Gordon Kool-Aid and go for that in that quick of a manner. But they saw the impact it had on kids. So Steve was really excited about seeing, because we were able to see middle school students and high school students, and that was really important for him to see that this isn't just because at times in District 41, 90% of our conversation seems about elementaries. So he was excited to see what junior high kids like his were doing, and he was excited about. He really liked that panel and the, at times, pressure, but the rigor, that's a better way of putting it, the rigor that our kids were under to be able to shine. So he was all in. Karen, I would ask you to...
I would say one other aspect that was pretty impressive is no matter what age level of class you went into, that you could ask any child kind of what they were doing, but often a child would greet you, explain exactly what they're doing, what they're learning, and they were available to answer any questions. And that's even kindergartner, eighth grader. And some kids were It was almost like a job or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we walked into, I think it was an eighth grade science class. She just pulled two kids out and said, you know, tell them what you're doing. We're very knowledgeable. They spoke very well to some random adults and could answer questions.
In some ways, it sounds similar to the experience we had when Paxton came and you went around and went into some random classrooms, and our children were able to articulate that as well. So that's important to hear. There was a program that I know Ben Barnwood science students were bringing to the district from STEM education, kind of getting our Hadley students excited about STEM and some of what's going on.
Project I.
The high school, yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I was just updated by Claire and I think Shay are the two. Unbelievable. Unbelievable work these two young ladies have done with the STEM club at West.
At West, right. So that's coming into Hadley 8th grade.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Late. I'm just trying to think of the date. And
I think it's after spring break.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I was thinking it's sometime in April. But she has, or they have, a very impressive list of businesses and speakers coming to the district. Very impressive what those two individuals have done. Again, I felt it was critical to be able to see that vision. Again, I'm sure others will maybe question the cost associated with it, but I think it's pretty minimal when you're able to really grab that vision and understand it and not just have somebody talk at you with a vision. And now we'll be able to continue to build that capacity and understanding of where we're going and what we want to be able to accomplish for our students. Mm-hmm. Karen, anything you want to finish with?
No, I would just say that we're already kind of doing things with the planning that
yeah.
we've done with
Thank you.
The math teachers and some of the literacy teachers. We have teachers already dabbling in problem-based learning, and it was just kind of an opportunity to kind of to start to take it to that next level. Particularly when you add
that
panel component. Mm-hmm. But all three
of
the principals were there were very excited and maybe even so overly excited. Yeah. like, all right, let's. We kind of came back and, you know, kind of we were meeting with our level 3 math teachers and they kind of immediately shared it and wanted to get going. And it was great because we kind of did a Google chat session with them on Friday and things like that. But it was impressive, and I think our principals walked away.
Yeah.
Kind of building some confidence.
And building that partnership with another school district and other teachers, because that's what Karen was talking about with the Google chat. So we had two math teachers speaking to roughly 25 Glen Ellyn educators talking about math, talking about this math menu that they saw that was, again, very differentiated. Engaged all kids and at very different levels. But, you know, through Google Hookup, we were able to really have this great, or Hangout, not Hookup, that's probably a really bad terminology there. Sorry. And the Google Hangout is having those great conversations about learning right there, and for our teachers to be able to ask those questions and to be. To have some reassurance with some of the data behind them. One of the teachers for 2 years in a row have had 99% of their students proficient in advance. And again, that's not a gifted school. That's not a group of gifted students. That is a very diverse group of students. 1 year was 100%. She was joking, well, this year, you know, I was down to 99% of my students proficient in advance. And
We're
proficient in advance. That's the terminology in Colorado on their state assessment. So it was a great opportunity, which I think will pay long-term dividends for us.
Can I ask you,
please.
You visited three schools, is that what you said? And so one was elementary, one middle school, one high school?
Two were K-8s, so we were able to see two K-8 schools, preschool through eighth grade, and then the other was a high school, a traditional high school, 1,900 students. The STEM lab has, I think it's 450 students. STEM launch has 900 students in it, and then high school with 1,700 students.
So, you know, you talk about, you know, seeing and touching the vision.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a couple questions. You know, how do we, you know, a lot of things of what you said, you know, the experience they have in learning, the engagement of the kids and the teachers' interaction. I mean, we could talk about that in our school, right? How do we as a board, and my next step will be the community, how do we get to, how is that getting on paper or a YouTube video on something that allows us to connect more with this vision that now some people have seen? And I would hope as a product of this trip that more than just your update, that somehow we can get to, you know, what are the real key differences in what they're doing versus where we need to go or what we're doing. That would be one.
And so let me answer that one. Mm-hmm. So we're working currently on that academic plan that will detail that, that will have very specific outcomes, what we would expect to see in our classrooms, the amount of PBLs that we would want people to be attempting. Again, we're not looking for perfection right out of the gate, but that you will see a very tangible evidence of our work and what it means. And as we've talked about, it's not going from where the district is at right now all the way in a different direction. Quite honestly, it is very aligned to what we're doing. What we want to bring is a game plan. It is having that true game plan for us to say, this is what it's going to look like. Here are the metrics. Here are the pieces that we know when we're successful, this is what it should look like. This is how our kids, this is how our adults, and then as board and community members, when you're in those schools, you should be seeing these same types of behaviors that we're seeing. And again, I want to reiterate, we're seeing some of those pieces starting to occur here. How do we get it moving quicker so more kids have those opportunities?
So, you know, again, getting down to the detail and all that's great. You know, at some point, we need to understand what the difference is and mm-hmm. you know, how you execute that vision. And then, you know, I mean, if you're doing a Google chat with educators, maybe we ought to try to use that to engage the community to communicate better in terms of where this is going and what it's doing. That may be a more effective way than having them sit in these lovely, comfortable chairs on a Monday night. Mm-hmm. You know, that could be an idea to try to get people, you know, to understand what it is. And mm-hmm. maybe it's people from, I just like saying Adam 12 because I'm from that generation. But
I know. It is the goofiest name in the world.
So, you know, it should be some people from there and other schools, you know, mm-hmm. which would lend some credibility and really talk about what the difference is so people can get it. Because, you know, you said it earlier.
It's great, great
idea. Vision, but at some point, you know, until you experience the vision, you may not really know what it is. So that's something that I think would be good.
Okay.
You also made a comment that, were these schools all socially economic?
Two of the three were. Two were STEM launch has about 75% free and reduced. It's highly impacted. It was a school the previous year that was, as I was a part of that administration, we made the decision to shut down one of the middle schools because it had a history of underperforming, significantly underperforming, and it was in, it was pretty far within the turnaround stages.
I just couldn't get a feeling of, were we there looking at socially, economically challenged areas in ELL when that's not really predominantly our market? So that was one of them.
STEM Lab looks very similar to a majority of our schools, but I thought it was important because Churchill was there, that Churchill saw that this is occurring with a very diverse population. But then we also, again, that's why I wanted to show all three, because STEM Lab looks very similar demographically to three of our four elementaries.
I mean, I've seen some of the, you know, I told you when we were interviewing, I saw some of the YouTube videos mm-hmm. on the partnerships and all that. And these are the spaces you were in, right?
Yeah. In the newest space, the North Glen space, just opened this year. And that is pretty breathtaking. I mean, and again, it's because of its openness, and its flexibility and what allows the teachers and people to do within it. That's the piece that is so cool. I mean, some of the artwork on the walls is also adds to it, but it was really about those high ceilings and flexibility and doors being able to open every which way. Yeah, that's new.
And are they STEM as traditional STEM, or are they STEAM? Do they have the arts in it? Or
arts are a significant part of it. I mean, we have a video of two of our principals singing in one of the art classrooms, but the arts also arts. Have a...
It's a part of it.
It's a part of it, but it also has, in one classroom, a tech slant to it. They're using these cubes, these electronic cubes that kids are able to manipulate and change the sound that's coming from it, but they're also learning about sound and how does that impact it. Where we walked into another, I think it was a 7th grade music classroom, very traditional from the standpoint. There were some kids playing guitar, there was kids singing, they were bringing it all together. But arts are very much a part of it.
So when do you think the board will see something that really...
I hope you'll see a document in the next, I would say, hopefully say in the next month and a half, pretty solid on where we're at, what are we doing, how are we going to make those next steps going forward, based off of the work that we've already been doing. The foundation of workshop, the understanding of PBLs, those are those critical pieces that really made kids engaged, and that overarching umbrella of STEM that's throughout all curriculums. So if I'm an English teacher, I may not be studying technology per se, but I am going to be reading more nonfiction and understanding that and how does that work. So each area owns STEM, and at times a little bit different. Now, if I'm a technology teacher, it's pretty apparent for me. Science, really apparent for me.
Great. John's comments bring up something that actually came up this morning at PTA Council. Dean was there, too. And there was a presentation of information data from the Dean of Operations at the district for 87 with their bond referendum coming up. And what struck me, just because I was hearing it from an external person, although we've talked about it, is that over the last couple, 3 years, now this year especially, as we move forward, much more reality check around the connection to what we're doing as a pre-K through 8 district, in particular our high school, to get kids ready to launch into high school. And that one of the things on the website when they talk about the referendum is the work around improving the science labs and upgrading them, and they haven't been changed much since they were built. And then this group of science students from West who are taking it upon themselves to really build acumen around STEM and then bring it down. But we're unique in terms of our learning outcomes and models. You know, we have a unique set of outcomes for pre-K, lower elementary, upper elementary, middle school, high school. But it's all toward that, and I think that's the piece that the board has done, and previously to this board, did a lot of study around, and that is, it's all connected. It's this college and career ready, it's decision making at the 6th grade level impacts your high school choices, and how do we all connect as a community around that?
It just
struck me a little bit differently this morning that these aren't isolated discussions or decisions to do this at District 41, because this, our technology rollout, for instance, impacts our kids being ready for iPads freshman year at West now. Yeah. Those kind of things that have been discussed at the associated district level, but I think that we, to join John's point in terms of community understanding, is that this is a continuum and much less a set of starts and stops.
Mm-hmm. I would totally agree that we are not restarting. I mean, we're just continuing down this path with greater clarity. And that's what we hope to bring with the document as well, is greater clarity. I think people play games better when they understand the game plan and they have a playbook in front of them to play from, as the Broncos did.
Great.
Did I slip that in there? I did not just slip that in there. Did they? Okay. That's my report.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Board reports, board committee reports, or other reports?
Well, at the end, I sent this to Sam and Paul and Lori and Bob, and it was a summary from a meeting that Lent had an extra meeting in December that I was able to go to. Lent is the Legislative Educational Network of DuPage, which is a DuPage County effort around education and lobbying for educational issues, et cetera. And Andrew Melhowski from Transit Gravelette presented a summary of the new pension law. And so there's an update on the TRS website, Teacher Retirement System website, of the law and how it impacts. And as I said in my email, Lori certainly will be able to speak to this much more concretely. But it was a good meeting. I felt like it was a good meeting to go to understand the breadth of this. And even though a lawsuit has been filed, Andrew's read on this was that the law would move forward, and the activation date is June 1st of 2014. So it will impact some of our teachers, administrators. It could be a few, it could be more, you know, depending on the years it rolls out. But his sense of what of this was, even if they gave a stay of the law, that it was, those dates are still going to go into place, and so TRS is working toward that, et cetera. So very high level, certainly much more complex than I'm able to grasp, but I know that Lori's been doing a lot of study on this and said it, so just wanted you to know that it's on the website, the TRS, easy to get to. It's the first thing that pops up when you look at that. It's just good for us to have in terms of our budgeting. And he was asked the question, I think I asked it actually, of whether or not there might be some reversal in terms of municipalities, school districts, municipalities bearing some of the burden of that. Is it not in the current law, but not off the table? So that's still, you know, for whatever it's worth,
yeah, it's
out
funny.
There. Yeah. So,
do you like it or not?
Yeah. Team 21, I attended on the 9th. What day was that?
Thursday. Sometime in December.
Yeah, January 9th, last Thursday.
Oh.
And it was a good meeting. I was a couple minutes late, and it was already going, so we worked bell to bell and broke into three work groups. One was on looking at evaluation of meet and greet curriculum night together and teacher evaluation and feedback on that, parent-teacher conferences, and then finally evaluation, which is the one I sat in on, and a discussion around next steps for taking some of those recommendations forward. The Team 21 will be pulling that together in terms of a summary, and also some conversation around continuing to collect data around specifically content specialization and our teacher specialization and multi-age. So there'll be a further discussion around that. For Team 21, it's you know, the focus is really around getting the group to kind of shift some of our work around looking at how do we put this into documentation so that it can go back and tweaks at the beginning of the year, things that had to be addressed right away, all that was triaged, but now it's now looking into next year as teachers are thinking about this, how do we want to make some changes. And actually, you know, it's a long meeting, but one of the parent members, Kathy Meyer, we were brainstorming around what seemed to be a little bit of a difficult issue, and she came up with a brilliant idea on how to manage some of that. So for me, it just goes to show that, you know, all those different voices coming together make a big difference. So we will continue that. Our next meeting is on February 6th. And then the last thing is, and this is actually from our December meeting, the artwork is gone now, I think. This was the Forrest Glenn STEAM artwork. I think that's been taken down. We have new artwork up. But I know a lot of us were able to see it. I think folks that are in this room went out in the hallway and saw it, too. But I felt like we were remiss. I was remiss not to highlight this because we just talked about this. This was such a good example at our elementary level of doing this convergence of STEAM in all aspects of building what ultimately looks like an art project, but all the pieces that went into this. And so I just want to put it on record that it was it's just a well-done project by the kids. I talked to a couple of parents that I know who have children over there, and they had fun doing it, but also it was hard work. A couple of the kids came up and said, we're working on a really hard art project, which this one friend of mine said it didn't quite connect, but then she saw it and realized all these other pieces were connected. So kudos to Porcelain.
Nice. Nice.
Great. Thanks. Anybody else?
I attended the council, the GE Council of PTAs today, and Eric has already touched on some of the stuff that went on there. Karen did a very good report on what the changes that we're doing in the ACE, and that seemed to be the part of the meeting. There's a lot of discussion around that. There's a lot of interest in that. Some of the changes that we're making starting at third grade level and some of the different focus that we have on it. So that was time very well spent. And then also there was a person from Glenbard West who came in and talked about their facility challenges and what they're going through. And as everybody knows, I think there's a meeting tonight that's about that they're handling some of the questions about the referendum that they're going after. But explain the challenges they have with the age of the buildings and some of the things that they have to do to be able to adjust them. So.
Okay, thanks. Finance committee?
We talked about the summer capital projects. some recommendations for the 14 year, and we talked about the school facility funding project. So further discussion will be asked.
Any key points or decisions on the funding?
Well, we met with MD, and we got a lot of questions answered. But we're still ironing out some of the issues in terms of what the recommendation we would put forth to the full board.
So no decisions on.
No specific.
Yeah. Okay.
Recommendations.
By decisions, I mean no recommendations to.
I think our goal is for the next board meeting we have a recommendation for the.
I think one thing we did consider is coming up with a timeline to give a recommendation, but I thought we said it was February.
Get it into the boards.
For February 10th, we would have a hard, fast recommendation. That was our goal.
Unless we have a special.
We're going to have a special meeting, most likely. Right. So we're going to invite everyone to a special finance committee. So that, and have a memo.
Nothing like that.
Have a memo prepared for that so you can see the discussion points, the highlighted discussion points that have been going back and forth for the last several finance meetings. And we'll give you that prior to that meeting so you can digest it and come back with more questions for us.
Have you guys taken off the table a question to the community? You know, an advisory question?
Mm-hmm.
Is that not on the table in terms of the timeline? In other words, are we either doing bonds or reserves, and we're not asking the community for an advisory question? That's off the table, I guess.
I think that's off the table.
I was thinking, I don't know if it was on the table.
In our current conversation with this finance committee, that hasn't been.
That hasn't been.
It was right now, it's how much of the reserves are being spent and how much, what's the percentage of borrowings and reserves and the combination.
And the time of that combination. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Big discussion point.
Yeah, it was a good discussion.
Okay, thanks, Drew. Anybody else? I just have one kind of personal note. Erica was nice enough to send me this letter from the Carnegie Center for the Arts. It's in Three Rivers, Michigan, my father's hometown. The board and I guess the superintendent's office made a nice, generous gift to the Carnegie Center. My father has a plaque in his name, and the gift is going to allow art, music, children's program in the community. So I wanted to thank you all for that. It's very touching.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, moving on. Discussion items. The first two items on our list tonight, the satisfaction survey and the 21st Century Learning Evaluation focus groups. Dr. Gordon and his team have indicated to me that they would like more time to examine this matter, as well as actually both matters, and they since they are both directly related. And I think we're looking at a two-week timeline for further evaluation and discussion before it comes back to the board. So, to that end, we have a motion to table the satisfaction survey and the 21st Century Learning Evaluation Focus Group discussion from the agenda tonight, and to place it the matters for future board discussion.
Second.
Well, we need a motion first.
Oh, I thought you were motioning.
I need a motion to table it.
Motion.
I motion it.
Motion from Mrs. Nelson. Do we have a second?
Second.
From Mr. Ellis. Thank you. Okay. Any discussion on this?
So does this mean we can't discuss it?
Any discussion on the motion to table these two items? So in other words, I guess an appropriate question will be, why are we tabling it, and when will we see it again? And I think
I think I understand why we're you need more time. That's great, but I am we haven't. I mean, I don't know that we as a board have discussed how we're going to do this and what the approach is. And I certainly would like to understand the timeline. We're halfway through the year. We've gotten some experience and some. Mm-hmm. I don't want to wait. Not saying that you would, but I don't want to wait till it's too late to do something. I want us to have a discussion on, community input, teacher input, what it is we're doing. And so,
my goal would be to have it back to the board in 2 weeks, but we need to have some further conversations to ensure that we have the right tool coming to the board to be able to do the work that it needs to be.
Okay, and so that's great, 2 weeks from now. And is a part of that what you're going to present to us? Is it going to be timeline, who's involved, what we're asking?
We'll present the whole piece like we were planning to tonight. We'll give you the timeline, who we'd be surveying, how that surveying would be done, the timeline of the surveying, all of that will be a part of it.
Okay.
But there was something that occurred that's going to delay it. I hope to get you a majority of it in 2 weeks, but it may be a little bit longer because we're going to have some further conversations.
So, for me, and I don't know if you're separating these purposely, but there's a satisfaction survey, which we've been doing, over the past couple of years, and then there's the 21st Century Learning one, right? And that's the one, at least for me, that's most important because of the new implementation, mm-hmm. how's it going? Mm-hmm. So
I see the two together, quite honestly. I think the focus group was going to be able to help us feed some of the questions to the overarching satisfaction survey, because within the satisfaction survey, we did want to be able to ask some questions on multi-age and teacher specialization. That wasn't going to be its primary focus, but I think it's important.
Part of the 21st century or part of the satisfaction? Those two topics?
Both. So the satisfaction survey, based off of the focus groups, our initial intent was to, that would help refine some of the questions we would use within the satisfaction survey. The overall satisfaction survey, we'll talk about Education A and Glen Ellen overall, but we would also ask the community at large on those two specific areas as well. So it would help, they work together when you're thinking about teacher specialization in multi-age. They do play off of each other.
So I'm just trying to, we've done a satisfaction survey, if you will. We've done a survey. Are we abandoning that and going to go in with a new customer satisfaction survey as well as the 21st century, or are we keeping our satisfaction survey that we did? I don't think we did it last year, but
I don't think we did that.
Because of the five essentials.
Took the place of that.
The five essentials, but we didn't get enough community members to.
This is a little historic, but the purpose of that first satisfaction survey was to have a baseline mm-hmm. that we could start to compare data on. So I guess without getting into the discussion now,
yeah,
just take that as an input to what you guys come back with. Because if we're starting from scratch again, we're going to have this discussion again of, okay, here's our level of satisfaction, but we don't know if we've improved. Mm-hmm. We don't know if that's worse because it's a new survey. We'll just keep that in
mind. I appreciate it.
As you go into the design of this.
I appreciate it.
And then obviously, for me, the 21st century, you know, sure they're related, but it is important to understand and to be able to measure how this program is going, right? Beyond just a survey, there are other elements of the measurement.
Correct. I appreciate that.
Right. So my biggest concern, I think we all share the same views as you, John, is that the two-week delay isn't going to jeopardize the satisfaction survey or the focus groups on the 21st century learner.
It will delay it because there is the three-step process. I mean, not substantially, but it is going to be delayed. I mean,
we will have the data we need to make the evaluation at the end of the year that we are set to do based on this program. It's an annual evaluation of the program. And so we're going to have the data available to us, and this two-week delay will not jeopardize that.
I don't believe so. I think you will have it, but it could be late April that we have it by. That's, you know, and I still have to work with others to ensure that timeline. But I'll have that information for you at the next board meeting. It was an unforeseen situation, but we felt it was best interest to pull it for now.
But Paul, I mean, we are getting feedback, though.
We are. I mean,
so
we are.
That's all the Team 21 stuff, John. So.
Right. So we are getting feedback. So it's not like we're not getting anything. But
I appreciate that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, this is one way. This is one other tool for the board and others to use.
Right. We just have to understand how. You know, what's the Team 21 input? What's the survey? Right, and we have to have a nice picture of that. So, all that should be part of the design of this.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else in your discussion? Roll call, please, Mrs. Stark.
Mr. Escalante.
Yes.
Ms. Nelson.
Yes.
Mr. Alger.
Yes.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Mr. Kuchinski.
Yes.
Mr. Fenwood.
Yes.
Mr. Black.
Yes. Okay, the Intergovernmental Cooperation Agreement for Food Services. Bob, I believe, is going to talk to us about this one.
Well, this is up for discussion now as we are moving forward with our current agreement with District 15 to provide lunch services at both the at Hadley Junior High as well as the elementaries, which would include the lunch program at each of the schools mentioned as well as the breakfast program. The agreement is up for renewal at the beginning of the next school year, which is July 1st, 2014, and will run through the end of the June 30th of 2017 school year.
So this is essentially a renewal of the agreement from that is currently in place. A
couple of years we've had it in place now.
But it's a three-year agreement.
That's correct.
Patrick, I know you had some questions in finance about the food service.
Mm-hmm.
So this agreement will directly impact
what you're thinking.
Yep.
And I guess the comments I had in finance, and I'm going to get more information, but the question is, in myself understanding the budgets and the levies and the process and how they don't align and all that other stuff, we look at everything when it comes down the pipe to discuss it, and not knowing the all-in cost for food services that includes not only the food but the distribution, the transportation, the delivery, all of that stuff to the food lady who gives it out, how much is it? Food person, pardon me. And if it's a significant amount of our operating budget, do we take a look at it and do we decide, do we want to keep the food service program, hot lunch, food service program, breakfast, outside of what we're required to by federal mandates? Do we pull it out of our budget, and what kind of impact that will have on our financial health? More information on financial stock, you know, I'll get that information, but I don't think it's going to be a big ball that we can, even if we do decide to get rid of it, it's minimal impact in the social aspect of that program outweighs the pennies that would be saved.
Mm-hmm. My thought around it was we did this, I believe, because we thought there was a business case for doing it, and there was a savings for doing it. So now we've done it, and you know, do we feel we're saving money by doing this? Just for this program alone. I understand the other programs too, but you know, we signed up for this, I believe, thinking there were some economies to scale, we would get some benefits out of it, and I don't know if we're measuring that, and if we can say we're getting it or we're not getting it. So
I would say there were certain financial implications, but I think it was more a socioeconomic question in terms of the services that we could provide to our kids, to our community, and changing demographics within the buildings.
Yeah, I mean, it was clearly we did this for those reasons, but are we doing it, you know, economically, and was this the solution that led us to, you know, we're doing this more cost effectively than if we did it another way? So
John, you're asking really about not so much about doing the program, but doing this program jointly with 15, whether that's paying off.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we did this because A, in some situations you have to do it, B, there are some benefits to it, and all that, get all that, and then there's the financial side. You know, did we do this the right way with 15? Are there other alternative ways we should be looking at? And, you know, when we launched the program, we said, hey, it cost us this. Did it cost us this? Did we save money? Did we not save money? Kind of measuring how we did the program and whether it realized the benefits. I understand the social benefits and not saying we wouldn't do it.
Because there was a cost to, we don't have the kitchens to do the food. So it had to be brought in, and that lessened the cost of infrastructure at each of the schools. Lincoln couldn't support it at all.
Yeah, I guess my
so that's a hypothesis, and the question is
that is a hypothesis. That wasn't mine. Mine was more black and white.
Yeah,
mine was. Yeah. Do we still need to do? Are we still going to do this?
Well, some of the programs are federally mandated. So
right, that's what I'm saying. Outside of what we're federally mandated required to do, do we pull it off the shelf and say, you know what, this is going to save us? And Bob, correct me, it's going to take $4 million a year. It's not.
Yeah.
But what's the number? And so.
But the alternative is if you don't do it with 15, we have to do it with someone else.
But we do it with somebody else with just what we're required to do.
Understand.
Yeah. Okay. And that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
What's that cost?
Okay. So I guess the question is we need some more information. How much does this program cost the district on an annual basis, or is that what we're asking for?
All I was asking for is the all-in cost for not only the 15 contract, but the staff that supports it here in 41, the all-in cost.
I think what you're looking for wasn't only the cost too, but the net, right? You want to know what the revenue is to offset it?
I think Joe, you've got positive contribution margin, you probably want to continue it. But if you're at this line and you just say, you know what, let's just cut it because it's a budget cost-cutting measure that we're going to try to squeeze a little bit more in what we're trying to do. But, you know, cold hard facts sometimes doesn't relate to the hot open. You get more sometimes. So,
then what? You asked the question kind of what's negligible if it's... But see the numbers. So this is for discussion. It comes back on the 27th?
Yes.
Okay.
For action.
So we'll bring more information to you.
Yeah, I mean, in the recommendation, we should have those. We should have those facts presented to us. If we can get it sooner.
Okay. Well, right. I mean, the overall cost of this specific program versus an alternative program, how much would that cost, and then what services would be provided in the alternative program, what the minimum required that were to do, how much does that cost?
There's more impact than just money on the alternative program, though. I mean, there's quality of food, there's the ability to get that service into your school on a timely basis. So I think
a lot of that work was done when we looked at bringing in several vendors, right? So we could resurrect some of that study.
Right,
to show you some of
the information I asked, and again, if it's not a bogey mover, then let's not spend Bob's time on this.
Right, that's what I'm wanting to question us around.
Just,
There's
and it's just me.
Facility implication too, because we don't have kitchens, the accepted Hadley. So the big cost is that District 15 prepares the food and delivers it to our building.
Yeah.
That's the other thing is we don't have a lot of historic data on this issue.
We had one year.
So, quite frankly, I think you have to get and do something for longer than 1 year before you can get a feel, unless there's massive problems and the feedback you're getting from the students and the parents is that it's not working. And if we're not getting that, then...
We have not had that.
But Patrick, your number is a fair question. What is the net number? If it's a $10,000 cost and we're providing this service.
And that's something you can come up with pretty easily, Bob?
For 1 year now, which I don't think is fair to make a decision in terms of the program, but I can certainly provide the information.
Okay. Right. Any other discussion on that? Okay, upcoming meetings. January 22nd, 2014, Board of Education special meeting, which is a facilities workshop, 7:30 p.m. here at the Central Services Office. January 27, 2014, Board of Education regular meeting, 7:30 p.m., Central Services Office. February 10th, 2014, Board of Education regular meeting, 7:30 p.m. here again at the Central Services Office. And any other matters to be considered by the Board at this time? Public participation. Is there anyone who at this time would like to address the Board? Okay. Wherever you're comfortable, you may begin whenever you're ready.
I actually came here tonight to listen, not to talk, because I wanted to hear the presentation about the satisfaction survey and the focus groups. Because despite the fact that I'm on Team 21, we don't really talk much about that other than getting updates on it. I want to understand now truly what this process is, because other than while Team 21 has been involved in compiling a list of questions and areas that we would like to have surveyed and coming up with different ideas as to what possible survey methods are, I want to be real clear that we're not part of this decision. This is being done by the administration, which is fine, but in fact we just get updates every month as to what the status is, and then we refine our list as to the areas that we want surveyed. And I'm not saying anything here that I haven't said at Team 21 meetings. I've been very vocal about it and asked repeatedly for timelines and updates because we're getting to the point in the school year now where I am concerned that anything that we do gather, I'm glad to see that we're going to be gathering data, hopefully if the board approves it in different ways. I don't see how that's going to help us for next year. I think we're not going to possibly have time to truly sift through it and determine whether or not we want to move forward with additional changes that are currently slated to take place in 2014-15 or have time to make any meaningful adjustments and honestly assess what has worked this year, maybe what hasn't worked, and maybe problem solve to think out different solutions or adjustments that should be made. So I am a little concerned and surprised by this 2 week delay. And I'm going to throw out there, because that's why I'm on Team 21, is not to complain, but to help try and come up with solutions, that I understand that these are outside surveys and focus groups with outside groups that require funding, and therefore we should take the time to do them right, and I certainly don't want to rush them. In the meantime, would it be possible to gather some soft data, possibly through the types of community meetings that we had during the think tank process, where community members at least have an opportunity to get up and possibly just, I understand it would be soft data and it would be free-flowing, but it would at least provide community members with an opportunity to talk, to share their stories, their concerns, their successes, what they like about the changes that happened this year, and also ask questions. Because the way this is set up right now, community members don't have an opportunity to ask questions and get those questions answered. Board meetings are not Q&As. You know, Team 21, they can ask me questions, but I don't really know much that I can tell them. And they can contact board members or the administration directly and usually get answers, but that doesn't share that with the community at large. So I would just say, moving forward, please, if we could just figure out what everybody's doing and when we're doing it, that would be great. Thank you.
Thanks, Amy. Anyone else? Are you ready, Mrs. Clark? I've already started the time, so you better start.
I was holding off on my comments because I wanted to hear the presentation as well, so I'm kind of going off the cuff based on some stuff Dr. Gordon said earlier, and I read all the documents online about the survey
and the focus groups. And first of all, I really appreciate the time being taken to do the survey and the focus groups, but I'm concerned it's a little bit too late. Couple of things. The board report, the final board report for Think Tank, even calls it a pilot that needs to be evaluated for fidelity, satisfaction, and impact. And John Kenwood just asked, have we been gathering data, which I know we have been, but that I think is for fidelity and impact. But a big one is satisfaction. Are students, teachers, and parents satisfied with the changes? We have no data about that. There's been no opportunity for parents to give their input. I know only two parents have been involved since all the changes were rolled out, and those are the two that are on Team 21. Another thing, I mean, and we were promised, the parents were promised, we know there's concerns, we hear your concerns, we're going to gather data, we're going to see how things are going. And it's now January, and I'm hearing it might be April before we get an opportunity to really give our feedback. And then just to mention about the visit to Colorado, which sounds great, but what I took away from that is that we might need to come up with an academic plan and a game plan to make changes to align more closely with the vision that exists there. But isn't that what Think Tank spent 18 months coming up with, our vision for our future? So why now are we switching gears? And I'm not saying that we should or shouldn't, but it concerns me if we truly do need to make any changes. Maybe we need to take our pilot and hold off on phase two a little bit till we know that our vision is aligned with where we want to go. I think some of the board members, back in the August meeting, there were some questions when there was a presentation about Team 21. I know Sam Black asked if something's not really working like we thought it was going to work, are we going to be flexible to make changes mid-year? That question's been asked. And the answer was that we would be flexible. Erica Nelson even said that we want to make sure public testimony and issues we heard are consistently addressed, mm-hmm. and that Team 21 feels that if we're not going to let things go when there clearly is an issue. And that teachers and staff want to be sure parents' concerns are addressed. The survey and a focus group, in my mind, need to be done in conjunction. A focus group of 6 to 10 randomly selected parents from each school does not represent the voice of the community. The climate is somewhat negative in D41 a little bit. Part of the community feels they don't have a voice. And we're just going to continue to foster that environment if we don't gather feedback in a timely manner from everyone. And you might think it's going really well this year because you haven't heard much from the community, like no news is good news. But don't mistake silence for complete happiness. I know there's some great things going on this year, but there's some not great things going on. And I think we owe it to the community to do a survey, gather feedback, and make changes for next year if need be. I still don't see how we've gone till January and haven't surveyed our teachers. That kind of boggles my mind a little bit because they're the ones dealing with it on a daily basis.
It's time stuff. Could be somewhat.
Wait, can I make one more comment? Just one more comment. In case some of you don't know, there was a mention about AEC. And what I heard today is that we are going to continue gifted services in 4th and 5th grade next year for the 3rd graders. And we were told last year, all of the Think Tank, at the Think Tank information sessions, that gifted was being phased out, that the new program was going to be rigorous, it was going to meet all our kids' needs, and we would have no need to continue gifted services. So the only kids that would continue to get it would be children that were already in it. So this year's 4th and 5th graders. I could not find any documentation that actually outlined the future of AEC in full detail, but I talked to many people to verify I wasn't crazy when I heard that. And now I'm hearing that 3rd graders this year, we do feel that they do need gifted starting next year. We're going to start pulling them out at the end of this year to bump up the kids that are identified as gifted to prepare them to go into gifted in 4th. So that, in my mind, is already one change that we're making where we thought maybe we're not meeting all of our kids' needs and we need to make some changes. And just, you know, maybe there's more. So I'm just asking, do the right thing. Find out what's really going on. We all just want what's best for the kids. I know everyone does. So I think that's it. Sorry.
Okay.
Thanks for giving me a minute.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anyone else this morning? Okay. Adjourned to closed session.
Wait.
I didn't mean that. I wasn't looking at the transcript.
I still have a couple points on that. That's
okay, Mr. Cooper.
What I summed up on before I gave me a chance to finish it was about 2001. If we're going to go through a referendum in the future, we really need to investigate the past a little bit to find out what it is that bothers your community. Okay, you're talking about wanting to have a community involved. We had a referendum in 2001 that I was asleep on, and we got misled, and we're still paying for it because it wasn't for a dollar amount. It was, I guess, to raise the percentage of the taxes that were charged, or the rates that were charged. So you're still getting money from that referendum 13 years, 12 years later, and nobody wants to address that. No one, and I understand, none of you guys were here back in 2001, at least not on the board. You may have lived in town or may have come in a couple of years later. But it doesn't change what happened. And there are people who can educate you on, and this wouldn't be me, but there are people that are very versed in what happened, why it happened, and what needs to be done. From what I understand, the district's not going to give the money back. I understand that. I'm not asking for that. The district does need to make some kind of a statement at some point, that because they're not the only district that did do what they did. And there's, I believe, Hinsdale did something similar, and they gave money back and they apologized to their stakeholders. We've never done anything like that. So before you guys go ask us for more money, which I don't think would be a really good idea right now, just my thoughts, just looking at it, I would suggest that you research the Green Line and maybe try to bring things back to the Green Line so people won't feel that we're still being screwed. Okay. The second thing I want to say real quickly was we had the IASB meeting in downtown Chicago at the end of November. I appreciate Dr. Gordon's enlightening me as to what the actual expenses were. My FOIA was just botched, and I walked away from that not knowing a thing. Five of the board members stayed in hotels down there. A couple of people from the district stayed in hotels down there. It was better than last year when we made the newspaper in one of the worst districts in the Chicago area, spending-wise, at this conference. So it is better than it was. It's not where it needs to be. I don't understand why we feel that we have to stay downtown Chicago for a conference overnight that we could be back home in 30 minutes on the taxpayers' dollars. It's very upsetting that the board members don't see that that is fiscal responsibility. These conferences don't start at 6 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's going to tell me that. And to have a member of the administration stay 2 minutes, that just shows me actions speak louder than words sometimes. That's
time, Jeff. Could you sum up, please?
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Are we sure? All right. Adjourn to closed session. The board has determined there's a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or the representatives or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees and the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. May I have a motion to adjourn to close
motion.
Session? By Mr. Kendall.
Second.
By Mr. Elger. Roll call, please.
Mr. Elger?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Kendall?
Yes.
Mr. Espelon?
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. The board will adjourn to closed session. Okay, returning to open session, it's 10:09.
Motion.
We need a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second. Motion.
Motion, Ken Wood, second. Vachensky, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Meeting adjourned. Thanks, everybody.